There is something about this story that I find cozy or reassuring, or maybe I just love it because it's not too complicated, except for the part about Jesus vanishing at the end. After thinking about it, I think that I love this story because it involves some of my favorite things: walking and talking with friends and sharing a meal. And at first glance, that is what this story is about, but dig a little deeper, and we discover that these very ordinary things, walking and talking and eating, are just window dressing for the real thing, which is the presence of God in the risen Christ. Which has got me to thinking that maybe, just maybe, God is not found always only in the extraordinary or the mysterious or up on the mountaintop. Maybe God is found and experienced and known in the most ordinary moments of our living. The sermon's going to be a bit shorter this morning. I know you're all disappointed, but there's a lot going on in the service, and there is Helen Bernhardt cake for us during coffee hour. So I want to explore more briefly than usual the idea of finding the holy in the ordinary and what prevents us from having that experience. We can start with this strange little phrase that Luke uses in the first part of the story that may give us a clue to unlocking all of this. Luke writes that while the disciples were walking with Jesus, they did not realize that it was him because their eyes were kept from recognizing him. There are many things Luke might have meant by that: that the risen Jesus looked different, or that the disciples couldn't see what they didn't expect to see, or that God was just delaying the punchline for a little bit so it would have greater impact. But some force was at work that kept them from understanding that they were in the presence of Christ. There are forces at work that prevent us from the same understanding, and I think some of them are self-imposed. Distraction prevents us from seeing the holy. I'm pretty sure that all our attention to screens is not doing our souls very much good, and I say that as someone who spends way too much time on her iPhone. Candy Crush? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but Candy Crush, Facebook, Instagram, 24-hour access to your email, the news outlet of your choice, weather updates, your daily step count, and then there's Google, the source of all information needed to settle an argument immediately, or, I will confess, to find a good quote for the sermon. I'm not saying that technology is bad and that our phones and tablets and computers are inherently evil, but I'm not sure they're helping us to recognize the holy in our midst. We're so distracted by the trivial that we cannot see the majestic. Assumptions prevent us from seeing the holy. I think that we have forgotten, in a way, how to talk with each other. We see and label each other so easily. Maybe that's what the disciples did. The stranger who joined them was a stranger because it couldn't possibly be Jesus, because Jesus was really dead. We make assumptions about each other that either negate the need for a conversation — I already know what that person's going to say — or turns a conversation into a debate or an argument. I am right and you are wrong, and no amount of conversation whatsoever will change my mind or yours. We jump to assumptions that we have about each other. And when we do that, we miss the opportunity to experience someone as a beloved child of God, or even to see Christ in that person. Comfortability prevents us from experiencing the holy. When life is easy and we have not only everything we need, but also everything we want, we don't look for the holy because we don't need it, or we think we don't need it, or we think that we can live without God. But I would propose that all the luxuries in the world cannot make up for God. It's like that great line from Hello, Dolly. And on those cold winter nights, Horace, you can cuddle up with your cash register. It's a little lumpy, but it rings. We substitute things for God. But most things aren't holy. They can be pretty or even beautiful. They can make us sentimental or happy. But things and comforts and luxuries can't help us recognize the holy in our midst. All the tchotchkes we clutter our souls with don't give us room to grow or deepen our faith. They fill us, but they don't fulfill us. They are present, but they don't evoke the divine presence. The challenge in all of this is the challenge to dig deep in order to learn how to get around those obstacles of distraction and assumption and comfortability. It's the challenge to put down deep roots so that we can grow in our ability to experience the divine. Some of you know that the Neal family has two very large oak trees on the side of our house. They are a burden and a blessing. They are a burden because 8 months out of the year, they are dropping something onto the ground that needs to be swept or raked up. And they are a blessing because in the summer, they provide shade and they're beautiful. We think they are 80 to 90 years old and were planted around the time that the house was built. Last year, we had to redo our sidewalks near those trees because the roots had disrupted the concrete and created a tripping hazard. And we only have half a basement because the roots are so big that we can only dig under the other half of the house. But these deep, wide roots have allowed these two trees to grow to a height that is 2.5 times as tall as our house. They are beautiful, and they provide a home, I think, to the entire squirrel and crow population in the neighborhood. But if it weren't for their healthy root system, these trees would not be as majestic as they are. At last week's session meeting, we had a great conversation about what our dreams for the ministry of Westminster are. The group that I was in talked about wanting to grow in our outreach to the community, wanting to grow in our ability to love and reflect the image of Christ, and to grow in our own sense of faith and the sacred. And if we are to grow in these ways, and I think that God might be calling us to do that, we need to ensure that our roots are deep and healthy. Experiencing an encounter with the divine is one way we do that. Shedding those things that prevent our experience of the holy, setting aside distraction and assumption and comfortability, will make it a little easier. Maybe. Here's the thing about the holy in our midst. We cannot manufacture holiness. We are noticers and recipients of the holy. We don't have to be particularly good or particularly orthodox or particularly healthy to see and receive holiness. We don't have to be on top of the highest mountain or deep in prayer or meditation or immersed in a graduate level study of scripture. I'm not sure we even need to expect the holy. But someday, maybe this day, you and I might find ourselves doing the most ordinary of things, weeding, or watching a play, or listening to music, or having dinner with the usual folks, and suddenly we realize that we are surrounded by grace and beauty. You might pass a dinner roll to your brother or your daughter or your friend and be washed over in love for that person. You might refill everyone's water glass or just your own and suddenly realize how good and precious and generous that water is, a gift from a good and precious and generous God. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. As we continue to grow and to deepen, may our eyes be open too. Amen.